Turn to Luke chapter 2 this morning for our Christmas morning consideration. I've decided to be totally conventional and not look around for the unusual Christmas related subject that one is tempted to do, to be different, but to take this passage, which it's very easy for us to overlook the important parts, or it's all important, but the all-important features of it, that because it's so familiar, you know what it's like, it's so familiar to us that we can just take it as read and not look at the details, but just to seek with the Lord's help to go through this familiar account of these certain poor shepherds in fields where they lay. And it begins really in verse 8 with the words which I learnt off by heart as a child. I can't remember why this particular passage, but I had to learn these words off by heart. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field. And I'm talking about the amazing privilege now, the amazing privilege which was given to these shepherds in verses 8 and 9. The amazing privilege of being the first to hear the news that Christ was born. When you think about it, so many people came to hear, but the first to hear, before King Herod heard about it, before those wise men heard about it, the angels came and addressed themselves to poor shepherds. The low life, if you like, of society, not in terms of anything morally wrong with them, but the fact that they were not considered to be the privileged and the high. They were working class people. Verses 1 to 5 tell us why Joseph and Mary were in Bethlehem. The taxation, which is more of a census, they were being registered. The fact they went to live again back in Nazareth. They came to the very night that the days were accomplished, we read. The days were accomplished that Mary should be delivered. And we presume while they were there, doesn't mean a week or two, but that day they arrived. They tried the various inns and the hostelries. And the nearest thing to being offered hospitality was the stable. And Mary brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, which literally means strips of cloth. Not that Mary herself did the wrapping, she gave directions to Joseph and anyone else who was around to help. And in the same country, so we're talking about the hills round about Bethlehem, there were shepherds abiding, which means living, in the open fields. At this particular time, the shepherds didn't go home every night after their day's duty. They stayed and they watched over the sheep and they lived, presumably in some form of tents, in the open fields. The sheep would have spent the daylight hours in the open field, but at night be led to sheep pens, usually made of branches of trees. And some of the shepherds slept while others stayed and kept watch, and then there would be the exchange of duties. Try to put yourself in their position. If we want to really gain from this familiar passage, try to put yourself in the position of the shepherds. This is your lot in life. You're a shepherd. And your job is to live for a period of time in the fields rather than a nice, warm, comfortable bed. And this particular night, you didn't expect anything to be different from what you normally experienced on these sort of occasions. You and your companions, very working-class companions, were just that, poor, downtrodden, looked down upon by many. In Jeremiah chapter 6, and I've often taken this passage, the Jewish people are pictured as being in great danger and vulnerable because they're assaulted by shepherds. And in those Old Testament days, there were these Bedouin shepherds, and it was quite dangerous. And Israel is compared to a woman who is confronted by these shepherds, vulnerable, in need of help. But these shepherds were different. These were not the Bedouins. These shepherds were people that just occupied a low position in society. They were despised and esteemed the lowest of the classes, but they were different. It's a fact that the shepherds were reckoned to confuse profession with possession, and therefore excluded from the company of those allowed to testify in court. In those days, the shepherds were not allowed to testify because it was reckoned that they were those that took the sheep for themselves, and when they were meant to be paid to look after them. But these were different. Luke makes it clear these were decent, devout men. Their job made it impossible for them to observe all the regulations of the religious law. They couldn't go to the temple, etc. But they would have known the prophecies. These men would have known that one day the Messiah would come to save God's people. Many of the characters involved in the Christmas story were like that man Simeon that we read of in this very chapter, who took Jesus in his arms in the temple later on. And these were devout men waiting for the consolation of Israel. And I've no doubt that these shepherds, they were a godly group of people, because all the people who are involved in the Christmas story, Simeon, Anna, John the Baptist's mother, John the Baptist's father, Mary and Joseph, seem to have been those that stand out because God had touched their hearts and they were looking for the coming of the Saviour. The shepherds are no different. It would be strange indeed if the first announcement of the birth of Christ was made to the sinful, God-neglecting, ungodly, virtual criminal classes. Verse 11, unto you is born. But it was still an immense privilege to be the first to hear the news. But to the shepherds, to you is born. It's as though the Lord is saying, for you, those who are looking for the Saviour, to you is born this day in the city of David. It was their flock, we're told. They were looking after their flocks by night. Not as owners of the flocks, but in their care. It's quite possible that there was one rich owner who owned all the sheep, but it's more likely that there were several who trusted these shepherds to look after their various sheep, marked out in some way from the ownership of other shepherds. They were farmers, and the sheep were entrusted to the care of these shepherds. And what happened? Well, it seems that at the same time as they dozed, they took turns to check the sheep, they looked up at the stars, maybe, and there was a sudden event. Lo. Lo means suddenly. It draws your attention to it. Lo. Look over here. The angel of the Lord came upon them, suddenly made his presence known to them. And it's all about light. He was a shining, glowing being, this angel of the Lord. And then the glory of the Lord shone round about them. So in the dead of night, in the darkness, suddenly fantastic light all around them. And this angel of the Lord came upon them, suddenly made his presence known to them. And at the same time, the glory of the Lord shone round about them. So there you are, you're a shepherd. And it's deadly quiet, apart from the usual sounds you hear at night. If you've been out in the fields at all at night, or you even go into a quiet place, you do hear some sounds, and you look up and you think. And it seems strange because it's so quiet. And then there's a little noise coming from over there and over there. The sounds of night. And all was calm, all was quiet, but with dramatic swiftness, lo, it happened. A heavenly brightness. It filled the sky, and all around them was light and glory. And these poor shepherds in the field, tending their sheep, their attention was drawn to the presence of God. And the angel stood by them in all his strong, brilliant holiness. They didn't see this coming, did they? Their immediate reaction was fear. And it's not the fear that we've spoken about often, this godly reverence. This was terror. They didn't know what was happening. What could this possibly mean? Now, these were devout men. They were good men. But they were sinners. They needed the grace of God. They needed forgiveness. And this amazing privilege didn't seem like a privilege. It seemed to be such a visitation, obviously from God, perhaps to show them up for what they were. And they were sore afraid. Was this the day of reckoning for them? It's good to have that day. It's good to have a time when you're so jolted from your life, from your comfortable life and your regular goings and comings, you're suddenly jolted. Perhaps it's an experience in life. Perhaps it's something which happens to you. Perhaps it's just suddenly your thoughts are gathered and you realise in the middle of the night, or middle of the day for that matter, that you're a sinner and that you're in the hands of an angry God, a God who will judge, but a God who will show mercy if you seek him. They were sore afraid. And then they have a wonderful reassurance in verses 10 to 12. And we read that the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to show you the Saviour. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord." It was quite predictable, especially to an angel of the Lord suddenly appearing, accompanied by a sky full of brilliant light. These wonderful shepherds, these privileged shepherds, they were experiencing something that you and I need to experience, the appearance of God to our souls. So these poor, godly, God-fearing, sensitive men were terrified, but straightway the Lord reassured them. The words of the angel are, "Fear not." And they're reassuring words. Don't be afraid. This isn't the time for you to be terrified. It's the time for you to take action. Consoling words, reassuring words. "I bring you good tidings of great joy." Certain poor shepherds in fields where they lay. "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." The Lord was going to bring in a wonderful message, which he'd predicted in the Old Testament, which would be broadcasted by the Lord Jesus Christ and sent through all the world by his disciples, to all people, to men and women of every race and kindred, every tongue under heaven. But the first announcement of it is made to these poor shepherds of Bethlehem. So imagine again, it's you. You're out in the field, and it's so quiet, and you're alone with your thoughts, and the angel of the Lord appears. The darkness of night is suddenly replaced by dazzling light. You'd be sore afraid, wouldn't you? I know I would. But the angel says, "Don't be afraid, because I've got good news for you. For you, because you need a saviour." It's a wonderful experience in life when you're sore afraid. You feel your sin. You feel, if I die tonight, I go straight to hell because I don't have Christ as my saviour. You're sore afraid. Most of our lives we go through and we're not sore afraid. We know that we're not right with God, but one day maybe we will be. But it comes to the point where we're sore afraid. And then fear not, because here are good tidings. The gospel comes in with wonderful power and says, you can be saved, you can be healed, you can have your sins forgiven, you can know fellowship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. The angel of the Lord appears, the darkness of night is replaced, and the angel says, don't be afraid. Good news for you and for all the people. You need a saviour, you need forgiveness, you need a new start with Christ in your heart. And it's good news. Fear not. Great joy. Be joyful. What better reason was there for these poor but greatly privileged shepherds to rejoice and be happy that Christ was being made known to them? This is for you, verse 11. You need him. Who do you need? You need a saviour. God has come to save you. Christ, the Messiah, that they had been taught for so many years to look for, and even in our hearts, there is that awareness, that emptiness, which can only be filled by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the promised divine Saviour, who is Christ, the Messiah, the Lord. He is the Lord. He's the Creator. He's the one who made the heavens and the earth. God has come in the flesh. The Creator has come as promised back at the creation, Genesis chapter 3, where man first fell into sin. God came and God spoke to Adam, to Eve, and even to the serpent, and said, the Saviour is coming, the seed of the woman, who will be bruised in his heel but will crush the serpent's head. And then to Abraham, many years later, the promise of a Saviour who would be the Saviour of men and women of every race, kindred and tribe. Then to David. To David, a Saviour like you, David. A man who will come from your loins. A man who will be born of your family line, who will save sinners from their sins. These men were waiting for such a day, but they didn't expect they'd hear it first. They didn't expect that they would be the privileged ones who would hear. Verse 12 says, this is the sign. You won't mistake this baby. The angel wasn't just announcing, he was inviting these privileged shepherds. Nowhere are they told, go into Bethlehem. Nowhere are they told, you're to go and to see this for yourself. And many people who go to church have no idea that they're meant to go and see for themselves. They think, well, yes, it's great, it's a wonderful story, and it's being told to us. We don't have to do anything about it, do we? But these privileged shepherds, they understood from what the angel said, there was no other place for them but to go and to see the child where he lay. They must be there, witnesses to the coming of God into this fallen world. He doesn't have to say, I'm telling you to leave your sheep and get down to that stable. He knows these men have been waiting for Christ to come, and they would be down there. And the sign, because you don't know, I don't know, there may have been many babies born in Bethlehem that night or around that time, in country places, country homes, in places where you might expect, they didn't have maternity hospitals, I don't think, but there would have been places where babies would be born. Oh, you'll know, the angel says, this baby, you'll see the sign, he's wrapped in strips of cloth, lying in a manger, a feeding trough for animals. If that wasn't enough, verses 13 and 14, we read, and suddenly, again, another sudden event, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, hundreds, thousands of angels, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. So they knew. This was the sign. Glory to God. Glory to God in the highest, because there's no glory to man through this. This is all of God. Peace on earth? Well, the result was for thousands upon thousands, peace with God. And goodwill. Goodwill from God to men. God is saying at this time, listen, come. Realize that I'm showing you favor and fortune and goodwill, blessing to all who believe. But then, thirdly, the shepherd's response. It's totally irresponsible to go and leave their sheep. Some would say, no, it was expected of them by the angel and by God, and God would look after their sheep that night. And they said one to another, let's go. Great enthusiasm. God had stirred up within their hearts a feeling, a desire, an enthusiasm for the truth. This was the child, the very child who would be born. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the Lord made known to them. This was the most glorious news, but the Lord chose them. The Lord chose me to make known to me. He didn't make it known to others in my family. He didn't make it known to others of my friends, but he made known to me his glorious truth, this gospel. Oh, how privileged we are If you have a family where there are others that don't love the Lord, oh, you feel for them, but how wonderful that God has made known to you, and you have heard, and you have responded by the grace of God. Every reason, therefore, to make haste. They didn't dawdle. They didn't say, well, you know, we might pop in sometime and have a pay our respects and look at this baby which has been born. No, they made haste. They needed to find Christ that night. You can't wait. What better day than Christmas Day to turn to the Saviour and call upon him and say, Lord, I've wasted many precious years. Now I'm coming home. Days when people made haste. Oh, we've known those days. Oh, if you read the history, I sometimes try to make it known to the people here, to our dear friends, what God did in the 18th century in this country, in the 19th century even. Not much in the 20th, just a little bit here and there. But times when so many thousands of people turned to Jesus Christ, in the days of George Whitefield, standing, an Anglican, of all things, an Anglican, and standing in churchyards because he wasn't allowed in the church, because he kept telling people they had to be born again. And they said to him, why do we have to be born again? And he said, because you must be born again. That was his response. And he preached, and thousands of people came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. People made haste. These shepherds made haste. They hurried. Let's go. And they went. For you, make haste. Don't miss a moment of redeemed life. Don't miss a moment more of the life when you can know Christ as your Saviour. You can know him as your friend. You can know the forgiveness of God, his touch upon your life. And this thing was made known to Mary and Joseph. The shepherds came. They wondered. Mary and Joseph wondered at the things which were told them. Can you imagine that scene as the shepherds come in? And Mary and Joseph, they're cuddling the little child, wrapped in the swaddling clothes. Joseph is full of admiration and wonder at what's happened. And Mary, she's so thrilled because she is the mother of the Son of God. And in come these shepherds. They wouldn't have been dressed appropriately for the occasion, but as they came in and as they gathered together with Mary and Joseph, Mary and Joseph looked inquisitively at them and they told them what had happened. We were on the fields. We were looking after the sheep. It was the dead of night. It was pitch dark. Suddenly the angel of the Lord came. Suddenly there was this wonderful glory in the heavens. Do you know what's happened here tonight? Well, yes, they did know. And the shepherds told them. And doubtless Mary and Joseph then told the shepherds, well, do you know what happened to us? Do you know when the angel of the Lord who came to you came to me and told me I was going to be the mother of the Son of God, the Saviour, who would be Christ the Lord? And they told each other. And the shepherds told Mary and Joseph. And Mary and Joseph wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. They made known then. The shepherds went and they didn't keep it quiet. They made known throughout Bethlehem and the surrounding region the things that they had heard and the things that they had seen. They'd heard. They'd heard it for years in the prophecies. They heard it in the announcement by the angels to them, by the song of the angels. And now they saw it. You've heard it, haven't you? You've heard the word of God for years and years and years. Have you seen it? Have you come and said, I was blind, but now I can see? Have you come to that point where you know the Saviour? You know him as your Lord and Saviour? Oh, I pray that might be the case for all of us. But Mary, she's a quiet one. Mary kept all these things. She pondered them. In her heart, she thought about them. Maybe these things are familiar to you and you've thought about them, but look, have you pondered them? Have you really studied them in your heart? Have you thought about it? Do you keep these things or do you forget them? Have you heard? But have you seen? Have you come and said, now I see? The shepherds did. Let's turn to